You may be seated if you're not already. Good morning.
Good morning, James.
Hey, you said my name. My name is James. Everybody say hi, James.
Hi, James.
Now, I know I think I said it a couple of weeks back, but James is one of those names when you call and place an order, it's really hard for them to understand. All right, I got Costco on my speed dial because I like their pizzas. And when it comes to what's your name, James. Wayne? No, that's my dad. James. Dave? No. James. I usually get to James, like James Bond. And then they get it. Oh, because everybody knows James Bond, right? I could say James Earl Jones, but not everybody knows him. So I say James Bond because I think I'm not too far off when I say just about everybody has watched a spy movie, correct? Yeah, all right, without thinking, I didn't give you any sort of pre-warning. Quick, name your favorite spy movie. Go. Oh, wow, that was awful. Okay, at least think about it for a second. Favorites, and James Bond. There, okay. Huh?
Born Identity.
Yeah, Jason Bourne series. That's good. Other spy movies. Mission Impossible. Who doesn't love a good Tom Cruise running scene? Every single movie. Man, I will rewind that and watch it over and up. Just kidding. Any other ones?
Matrix.
Okay, good. I heard one over here.
There.
Which one's now? Oh, James Bond titles. Diamonds Are Forever. Oh, did you? Sorry, somebody else over here? Okay. So all the James Bond series. Pink Panther? That was a spy movie, right? Kind of. Maybe. Okay. So we know that spy movies have something in common, all right? At some point, the boss or the higher up will come and tell a special agent. They'd be like, I have a mission for you, right? And that mission will oftentimes include danger and risk and potential death, all those things. And usually at the end of it, well, depends on how it's delivered, but, you know, because sometimes they're delivered that mission by mail, and then it automatically self-destructs. Yeah, this message will burn, right, when you hear it. Sometimes the message is delivered via cell phone, which then blows up. Sometimes it's delivered face-to-face. Whatever way it's delivered, usually at the end of it, it says something like, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is... In all our years of watching spy movies, how many of you have ever heard the secret agent say, I don't think I want to accept it this time?
Get smartness?
Oh, you just blew my entire sermon. Oh, wow. Okay, Get Smart does. Anybody else ever seen that? Nah. Like, I don't think I'll take that mission. Hit me on my cell phone when you got a better one, right? Call me later. I think aside from going back to Get Smart, thanks, Joel, we have to go back all the way even further to the early church, and we're still going to find out that hardly anybody, if anybody, says no to the mission. Have I got you? I got Joel, at least. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time today. We have prayed for your spirit to be here. We have sung that. Lord, we know your spirit's already here because where two or three are gathered, Jesus, you are with us, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you also that the Bible is a living, breathing word, active, sharper than a two-edged sword. I thank you that it can speak to us. Even if it's stories that we've heard countless times before, Lord, open our eyes afresh to what you want us to hear this morning. We look forward to what you're going to say and do in and through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got a Bible or a phone or however you get to God's Word, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 21. We sent out an email on Monday encouraging you to read Acts chapter 21 to 26. We're not going to read that out loud this morning, which is good because that'd be the entire time. But if you read it, hopefully you got to see that it was the Apostle Paul's arrest and... Ooh, that's a cell phone. Someone calling? No. Okay, we got it. You got to see that it was Paul and his arrest and journey towards Jerusalem and Rome. But you also got to see that Paul was living out the mission that God gave all of us at the beginning of Acts. You'll remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." These five chapters in Acts was a great example of Paul living out this command, telling anybody he could about the story of Jesus. He told it to ruckus crowds, to temple guards, to commanders in the military, to a high priest, to governors, to lawyers, to a king who happened to be the grandson of the king who killed the apostle James. All right? And then we get to the story of Jesus that Paul was living out. Now, here's what I want to say. Paul was telling it everywhere in any opportunity he had, but if he had listened to the Holy Spirit, he might not have had to tell it in chains. If Paul had listened to the Holy Spirit, he might not have had to tell the story of Jesus in chains. Am I saying that Paul didn't listen to the Holy Spirit? Ooh, surely not. I mean, Paul was the greatest church planter ever. Paul was the greatest missionary ever. The Apostle Paul is probably more quoted than almost the rest of the Bible. But did he listen to the Holy Spirit? Interesting thought. I know you're squirming. Some of you got some heartburn going on. That's fine. I've asked Joel to read our text for today, Acts chapter 21, verses 1 to 15. He's going to come up to the front and read it out loud.
So, Acts 21. After saying farewell to the Ephesian elders, we sailed straight to the islands of Kos. And the next day, we reached Rhodes and then went to Patara. There, we boarded a ship sailing to, I don't know how to say that name. Thank you. We're sighted to the island of Cyprus, passed it on to the left, our left, and landed to the harbor of Tyre in Syria, where the ship was to unload its cargo. We went ashore, found the local believers, and stayed with them a week. These believers prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go on to Jerusalem. When he returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation, including women and children, left the city and came down to the shore with us. There he knelt, prayed, and said our farewells. Then we went aboard, and they returned home. The next stop after leaving Tyre, to the lovely P name that I can't pronounce, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed for one day. The next day, we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived in Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it. He then said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turn over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, "Why all these weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ." When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, he gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we packed up our things, and left for Jerusalem.
Very good. Thank you. You see it? Did Paul disobey the Holy Spirit? Let me recap the story a little bit. If you didn't know, Paul has just gotten back from a long number three of three missionary journeys. Been traveling along for a long time, and the last stop of the last journey was in Ephesus, and there he kind of gets this hankering to go to Jerusalem. It says, Acts chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, he says, "I've had one message for the Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me." Paul seems pretty determined, doesn't he? bound by the Spirit. So that language, does that mean just like the Spirit of God just kind of talked to him? Hey, what do you think? You want to go there? Or did he tie up Paul and start dragging him along? I mean, obviously, Paul's not being dragged along. He's going on his own accord. Chapter 20 begins very similar to how this section just ended. Chapter 21 ends. When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad, most of all, because he had said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship, which takes us to Acts chapter 21, which you just heard Joel read. In chapter 21, the first 15 verses, do you feel the tension? Anybody feel it? Do you feel the unrest? There's definitely some of it there. Did Paul disobey the Holy Spirit? I mean, it looks like it. Chapter 21, verse 4, there's a group of people that are prophesying in the Spirit for Paul not to go. Verse 4, we went ashore, found the local believers, and stayed with them for a week. These believers prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go on to Jerusalem. Did Paul listen? Nope. I mean, you look at the next couple of verses. When we returned to the ship at the end of the week, everybody came out, including the women and children. They left the city, came down to the shore. There we knelt, prayed, said our goodbyes, and I got back on the boat and I kept going. That's what it says. So, did Paul obey the Holy Spirit or disobey it? You keep going in the text. His journey continues. Next stop, Ptolemais, where Philip, one of the original people who was chosen to do the food distribution and early in Acts, where he had how many daughters? Said in the text, 4. Kyle, how many daughters you got? 4. Do they have the gift of prophecy? We shall see. What did they tell Paul? We don't know. It doesn't say. But we can maybe assume they told him the same thing the believers in Tyre told him. Because we keep going in the same text, and Paul gets almost the exact same message. This message from a guy named Agabus. It says he has a gift of prophecy. It says he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said the person who goes to Jerusalem is going to have this happen to them. And verse 12, when we heard this, we and the believers all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. It seems like another Holy Spirit message. A group of people begging Paul not to go. So did Paul listen? Verse 15, after this, we packed our things and left for Jerusalem. Doesn't look like Paul obeyed the Holy Spirit, does it? You know, I've wrestled with this for a week or two or three, and I think I've come up with 4 different options. I'm sure there's a lot more, but 4 different options as to how we can explain whether or not Paul ignored the Holy Spirit. Okay? The first is this. Somebody heard wrong. It could be as easy as that, right? Maybe Paul heard wrong. I mean, at this time, he had just finished his 3rd missionary journey, and scholars believe, they look at the roadmap in Acts and the trip log that the author left us, and they believe that Paul walked over 10,000 miles. That's as far as from here to New York City, whichever direction that is, okay? New York City, back to Spokane, back to New York City, back to Spokane, literally right around 10,000 miles. If you walked that far, would you be tired? Yes. Would you potentially start hearing voices? I would. So did Paul hear wrong? Because it couldn't have been the group of believers. I mean, it just couldn't have been. Over the years of pastoring, close to 2 decades, I've had a lot of people come to me, I want to say a lot, and say, the Lord told me to tell you this, James. The Lord told me that you should do this. Or the Lord told me that you should say that. And I never want to dismiss that, ever. In fact, I take that very prayerfully, and God, is that accurate? Oftentimes, my response will be, well, that's great. Thank you for listening to the Spirit. And if the Spirit tells a few other people, then I might take steps on that. The Spirit told a few other people in our story. Like, we're not given like it was only 3 or 5. It was like the town of Tyre, the church of Tyre, right? So, maybe Paul heard wrong. Possibility number 1. Possibility number two. What if both sides were right? I mean, it happens when Kyle has to discern between his four daughters arguing, right? What if all four of them were right? What if both sides heard from the Spirit of God? Would God really tell two different groups two different things that are going to end in two different, drastically different ends? Could he do that? Yes. Would he do that? Maybe. When I was raising support 20-plus years ago to be a missionary based out of Chicago, my wife and I were confident. Without a doubt, we had heard from the voice of God that we needed to go. We needed to join this ministry. And we went around telling people, like missionaries do, about our call and asking them to help support us. Well, we were adamant that God had called us. Now, just as adamant was Abby's best friend's mother-in-law, who was adamant that she had heard from God that we were not supposed to go. She said, people need, like, Spokane needs you here, James, not Chicago. Oh, she was adamant. I've heard from the Lord. And she did not support us financially or in prayer or in any other way. All right? Because she was adamant that she had heard from God. So which was right? Could they both have been right? It seems like God was trying to get Paul's attention. I mean, the entire church at Tyre, four prophetic daughters, probably, a prophetic belt illustration, two crowds of local believers, all were super convinced they were hearing from the Spirit of God, and they were telling Paul, stop, don't go. And yet Paul was just as convinced that he had heard from God as well. You go back just a couple of chapters to chapter 19, verse 21. This is when Paul was in Ephesus the first time. Actually, it was the third time. The third missionary trip. I'll get this right. Chapter 19, verse 21. Afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go to Macedonia and Achaia before going to Jerusalem. And after that, he said, I must go on to Rome. Now, you fast forward a little bit in a verse we already heard, Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me. Paul was confident that he had heard from the Spirit that that's where he was supposed to go. And perhaps he figured that if the Spirit really wanted to stop him, he would, because he had before. Right? Remember Acts chapter 16? Chapter 16, verse 8, I think it is, or 6 to 8. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Who prevented them? Holy Spirit, right? Not a trick question. Verse 7, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Who didn't allow them to go? The Spirit, right? So maybe Paul was so confident that if the Spirit wanted to stop him, he would stop him. I mean, you look at what he said in verse 13 of 21, which is our text to today. It says, why are you guys weeping? You're breaking my heart. I'm not only ready to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps the Spirit of God was talking to both groups. Could it be? Maybe. It's possibility number two. Possibility number three is this. Maybe both sides heard the Spirit right, but one side delivered the message wrong. Maybe both sides heard the Spirit right, but one side delivered the message wrong. This is actually where most scholars and commentators fall. And one commentator said, God gave an accurate prophecy to these believers about Paul's future, suffering and persecution. But they made an inaccurate interpretation of the prophecy that Paul shouldn't go. Another commentator, the simplest solution to this dilemma is that Christians at Tyre were led by the Spirit to foresee suffering for Paul at Jerusalem, and therefore, of their own accord, they urged him not to go. John Stott. Anybody ever heard of him as a commentator? Trusted person, right? The pleadings with Paul, which followed, are not attributed to the Spirit and may have been fallible, even mistaken, human deductions from the Spirit's prophecy. Wow. I mean, these guys sound smart. They wrote books. We know the human tendency to avoid challenges, to avoid suffering. And many of these commentators think that because the believers were given this prophecy that Paul was going to go and suffer and be persecuted, that they kind of took it on their own accord, on their own self, and said, Paul, don't go. And maybe they selfishly wanted him to stick around a little bit longer. This possibility number three, I'm going to go against all the commentators that say this. I think it's a cop-out. I think it's the easy way to explain away some tension that nobody likes to feel when they're studying the Bible. Okay? You know, because sarcastically, surely God would not give two messages to two different people for the same direction, right? Or surely God would never let his loved ones suffer. Oh, surely not, right? Surely he would not tell a story in a way that people would misunderstand, and can't we trust Scripture? This whole notion that Paul was going to go and suffer and be persecuted, it was not a new notion to him. He knew it was coming. So possibility number four, what if God is just simply laying out to Paul, this is what's going to happen, and you get to choose whether or not you go? What if God is saying to Paul, Paul, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it? What if he's saying to Paul, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it? Because over and over and over in the book of Acts, we see Paul being told, you're going to suffer, you're going to be persecuted, and he keeps going. He keeps going every single time. God told Ananias, who probably told Paul after his initial Damascus Road encounter, this. He told Ananias this, go for Saul as my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. Now, I've told you like twice already this verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. Listen to what happens after it. Verse 22, Paul says, and now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in this city, after city, and after city, and after city, that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life, Paul writes, is worth nothing unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. My life is nothing unless I accept the mission that God has given me. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. What was Paul's mission? Was his mission to suffer and be persecuted? No. He just stated his mission. But my life is worthless unless I use it to finish the work, the mission assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. And here's what that is. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Was Paul ignoring the Holy Spirit? I think that's the wrong question. Was Paul listening to the mission that God has given him? That's the right question. He knew that mission. In fact, after being bound and chained and taken from boat to boat, when he eventually had a chance to talk to the king, King Herod Agrippa, this is what he told the king. He said, you know, on this road to Damascus, there's this bright light, and I got scared, and I couldn't see anything. And I said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. This is Acts 26, verse 16. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me. Tell them what I will show you in the future, and I will rescue you both from your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith for me. Paul's mission was to tell the story. That was his mission. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to tell the story. And all along, people have been telling him, hold on, wait, especially our text today, you're going to suffer. You're going to persecute. You're going to be persecuted. You know, I was thinking about this morning. If Paul listened to the Spirit of God telling the people in Tyre not to go, I think God would have been all right with that. I mean, you talk about a perfect out. Right? Fast forward when Paul meets Jesus in heaven, and Jesus is like, hey, what are you up to? Hey, so Jesus, you know, your believers in Tyre, they told me not to go. And it was through the Spirit, so I listened. That's the perfect out. Amen? You guys don't want to say amen because it means that, like, you're just uncomfortable. Because I'm alluding to the fact that Paul did not listen to the Holy Spirit, but instead he listened to the mission that God had given him all along. Paul kept his mission to tell the story of Jesus to whomever, wherever, and however he could. My question is this: will we accept the mission as well? This whole series has been about acting out. This whole series has been about us following what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 28. You will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to go into Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and tell my story to anyone. Will we accept that mission, no matter the cost? Who knows what's going to happen along the way? Maybe we'll be super successful and convert all sorts of people. Or catch this, maybe we'll be super successful and be persecuted. This is your mission. Who knows what's going to happen to you on the way? But it's your mission should you choose to accept it. Next week, Trevor's going to wrap up this Acts Out sermon series. He's going to talk about finishing well. It's going to be really, really good. You don't want to miss it, okay? But I want us not to forget this entire series has been based on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Telling the story of Jesus anywhere, to anybody, anytime we can. You talk about an opportunity that Jeremy has tonight. I mean, will you lay out the Romans Road? We don't know. But will you somehow tell the story of Jesus? I could say yes, because I've ate dinner at your house, and it just happens. All right? What an opportunity we have to pray for Jeremy and Bill, and not just tonight, but the months of relationship that they're going to continue to build in that household. Jeremy, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it. The question is, will we? Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you've given Jeremy and his family a mission with Bill. You have challenged them, you have ordained them, you have commissioned them to tell the story to Bill and his family, his wife, whoever else may come. Lord, you have challenged them to do so in a way that's natural, that's organic, that's around a table, that's around food. I thank you for the years Jeremy has already worked with Bill and the relationship he already has. Jesus, we pray that this would be an opportunity for your story to be told in a way that Bill's heart would be ready. Whenever that is, however that is, tonight, next month, the month after, the month after. God, give Jeremy and his family patience. Bring us to our knees to pray for that relationship and remind us every single day that telling your story is our mission too. Lord, help us accept it no matter the cost. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.